Why does my ex-wife always ring me when I'm eating toast? It must have been the fourth time this week. I was sitting quite happily having brunch with my brother when the mobile rang. Don't answer it, mate. I didn't and started to eat. Two bites later, it rang again. This time, it was a text. Pick up, I know you're there. I suggested texting back with, no, I'm not, but that would seem to give the game away. What I really wanted to say was, we're not married anymore, let me eat my toast in peace. Strictly speaking, of course, I was still married to Liz. She moved out 3 months ago when all the financial stuff had been sorted out, and we've been chasing the lawyers ever since. But at 10 o'clock this morning, the decree nisi was finally stamped. Now we have to wait 6 weeks and 1 day for the decree absolute. That's 43 days. The mobile rang again. Another text. Please call urgent. I dialed her number. Hi, I tried to sound cool, too busy to chat. Sorry to bother you, Will. It's just... Her voice trailed off. She sounded bad. I could hear her breathing, the sound of silent tears. I didn't know who else to call. On another occasion, I might have suggested she called Toby, but I resisted. There's been an accident. On overdrive, I ran through the possibilities. Her mother, her sister, her niece. It's Jamie. He's been hit by a car. I'm at the vet's now. Can you come? Liz, I'm so sorry, of course. I'll come straight away. I left my brother to pay the bill and headed for the tube. Without sounding callous, I could have done without this today. For one thing, I was supposed to be working, but more importantly, I was hoping not to see Liz for a while, particularly in a supportive capacity. Just when you think you're making headway, something like this happens and you're back to square one. I saw her car as I emerged from the tube, parked badly in the usual way. Not dangerous, just weird. From the street, I saw her back, shoulders down, leaning on the counter. She turned as I opened the door. Her eyes, red from crying, said it all. She looked 5 years old, lost, and needing her father. A memory shot through me. A memory of an ultrasound scan and the doctor's face, being told our baby hadn't grown properly. Liz, lying on the bed, barely covered by a gown. A memory of my being strong for her, knowing that the dream was over, knowing that it was the beginning of the end of our marriage. I'm sorry, Liz.
We tried to save him.
I know.
Stupid bloody driver. I loved him so much.
I know.
You don't bloody know. You don't bloody know anything.
I said nothing and let her sob into my chest. Eventually,
will you help me bury him?
Now?
Is that a problem?
No, right, sure, where?
I mean, had you thought where you'd like to bury him?
On the top of Pendle Hill. You're not serious, Liz. That's a 500-mile round trip.
It's what I want. It's what Jamie would have wanted.
What he would have wanted? He doesn't even know where Pendle Hill is. He's a cat, for God's sake. I agree, not totally diplomatic under the circumstances, but couldn't we just have had a little ceremony on Hampstead Heath?
It's not that far, Will. It's where he was born.
She wiped a tear from her eye.
You can understand.
I can, yes, of course. It's just...
Just what? Just you don't want to? Just you're too busy? Or just you don't want to spend a night in a hotel with me?
We wouldn't have to stay overnight if we shared the driving.
But it would be dark before we got there. I was thinking we could drive up now, find a B&B and have a little service, first thing in the morning.
So, now there was a service to organise. Hymns to choose, no doubt, service sheets to print, a family friend to read a poem, a bit of T.S. Eliot, perhaps. A 6-hour journey in a hearse and a night in a hotel together, it would be a minefield, especially with raw emotions flying about. Why couldn't I just have said no?